So excited, Bill. This is a moment I've been waiting for to meet one of my radio idols, Dr. Demento, live in the flesh. Sir.
Woo, woo. Wind up your radio. Rare records and outrageous tapes. I can still do that.
And musician and producer John Caffiero.
That's right.
Did I say it right? How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for being here, guys. How did Dr. Demento start?
Oh, I was brought into a station. This was the era of underground freeform radio,
yeah.
A commercial station, but it sounded like a college station. We could and did play anything we wanted to. They would go all the way from Bach to Frank Zappa, and that was the regular rotation of the station. They brought me in to play rare oldies from my collection, a freeform rare rock and roll oldie show. And along with the rockabilly and the R&B, I would play things like Transfusion by Nervous Norvis. Transfusion, transfusion, I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pop the crimson in me, Jimson. Yeah, by Nervous Norvis.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I'd play the original by Nervous Norvis because novelty records were part of the mix in the 50s. Just about any station that played rock and roll, they play things like Transfusion. So I was playing the rare rock and roll oldies, but the more of the funny things that I played, the more calls I got. Oh, the Purple People Eater, we like that one. You have the Monster Mash, you
know, yeah.
And it kind of mushroomed. And the more of that funny stuff I played, the more popular the show got.
We remember a song that listeners will remember completely.
Fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads.
Eat them up. Yum.
Yeah. Barnes and Barnes.
Barnes and
my
Barnes.
Number one all-time most requested
I would
song.
Imagine.
Yes.
And the backstory there is a very interesting one. A guy that we all grew up with on Lost in Space, Billy Mumy, was Barnes or Barnes.
What? Yeah. Barnes. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was Art Barnes, and then Robert Hamer, his friend since fourth grade, is Artie Barnes.
Look at that.
And they formed this duo together, and they sent me a tape. It just said Barnes and Barnes on it. So I had already played the song Fish Heads on my show, and it had begun to get a lot of requests before I knew that Billy Mumy was involved.
Yeah. How about that?
All right. And also, John Caffiero in the studio. Do you have anything to do with this Dr. Demento covered in punk double disc, triple, quadruple disc I have in my hand?
I have everything to do with it. I gave birth to that CD out of my twisted brain. But it's a project that I had this idea for that I thought would be a lot of fun to have different punk bands, both contemporary and classic punk bands, do new punk rock cover versions of all the great, fun, novelty songs that have been made famous over the airwaves of the Dr. Demento show. In fact, my band, Osaka Popstar, does the punk version of Fish Heads.
Awesome.
Oh, nice.
Because when I was in grammar school, I was a huge, and still am a huge, Dr. Demento fan, and Fish Heads was always my favorite. And I used to write Barnes & Barnes fan letters in grammar school, and they would write me back. So now, as an adult, I gave the punk rock treatment to Fish Heads, but I thought it would be really fun and interesting to breathe new life into these songs and introduce a new generation to the Dr. Demento show. And that's the intention of Dr. Demento covered in punk.
John, awesome. The reaction, talk about the reaction you got. You're talking to punk bands. You think, well, maybe they'll know about Dr. Demento. Maybe they won't. But my guess is they were overwhelmingly on board with this from minute one, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. People just thought it was really a fun project, and everybody loves the Dr. Demento show and all of these songs. People really took to it and had a great time with it. There were a lot of artists that immediately had a preconceived notion of what they would want to do, and others, because I have a background also as a film director and producer, where I would have something in mind that I thought would fit that sound or persona, and I'd pitch a track, and 9 out of 10 times they would go for it. So it was really a lot of fun to put this project together. It was a labor of love, really.
I was 23 years old when I started on the radio here in Chicago, 1986, the Loop radio station, which just went under recently. And I did the overnight shift Sundays, midnight to 5:30. So I would kick off the Dr. Demento show, and I would be there when it wrapped up. And don't forget to stay demented. And who's Norm Pattis?
He was the CEO and founder of Westwood One.
Right.
Which was the network that carried my show for many years.
Right. because you would thank the Norm Pattis. I just never, I will never forget his name.
Wendy still thanks Norm Pattis at the, every,
do,
at the end of every one of our shows, and we don't know why. We just do.
Have you been thanking him all those years?
Yes. Yeah, we keep thanking Norm Pattis. Yep.
We have to take a quick break. We'll talk to you as to why you're in town, Dr. Demento and John Caffiero. And Dr. Demento covered in punk. I want to talk about the artwork, too. It's pretty cool. We will continue. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. This is what Bobby Slayton was referring to, and he could not stop posing for pictures with Dr. Demento before he left. And what's this called? Something in the
There's
ground?
There's a new sound.
Oh, that's it.
Everybody calls it the sound that's made by worms, but the title is There's a New Sound. The singer is Tony Borello, and his day job was he was a vocal coach for legit singers.
Really?
He coached Tony Bennett for years.
Did he really? Yeah. Oh, I don't remember Tony covering that particular song, though. I don't remember it.
Although, isn't that weird? Because when Bobby was saying it, I didn't really remember it, and as soon as I heard it, it totally rang a bell. Totally did.
Okay, yeah.
Dr. Demento in the studio and John Caffiero, we are talking about this double CD set, Dr. Demento covered in punk, also available in vinyl, correct?
Yeah, 3 discs on vinyl.
That's spectacular.
64 tracks.
Wow, impressive. Impressive. The artwork, Wendy alluded to this earlier, the artwork is just amazing in and of itself.
Oh,
how'd
thanks.
How'd you pull the artwork off?
I'm a huge art aficionado, as I am for music, and I think that packaging, you know, I come from the old school, and I always feel like packaging is part of the experience of the record. It brings you into the world of what you're going to listen to. So I wanted it to be really involved and intricate, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to commission a lot of different pop culture artists to create pieces that would represent the song. So we have Drew Friedman, who's done the cover artwork, doing a spectacular job of rendering Dr. Demento both happy and fearful all at the same time, mixed emotions going on while a series of punks are about to break through the glass of his radio booth while he's on the air.
And, does the good doctor approve?
Yes.
It looks really good.
You're on board.
I was taken aback when I first saw that cover shot, but I approve. Yes.
He said, Doc told me it was the first time he's been seen not overly joyful on a cover. And I said, well, look what's going on. And he agreed that it was.
Who is the typical, or is there a typical Dr. Demento fan? Probably not, is there?
No, not. It's huge range. I mean, in my early days, I noticed that I had grandmothers and little kids, both, the same show. The grandmothers would hear the Spike Jones, the little kids would hear Fish Heads, and they both loved the show, which was kind of a blessing and a curse, because when the demographics started being so much more important to ratings in the radio business, my demographics are just all over the map. I'm not just zeroing in on young men 18 to 24 who love fast cars and hardcore music. And so it's all over the map.
Yep.
And I take great pride in introducing people to different things that they hadn't heard before. Can't tell you how many people have said, I'm so grateful to you, Doctor. You introduced me to Frank Zappa.
Mm.
Absolutely. So. And we were talking off the air. We promoted probably a month ago that you were going to come in the studio. We were very excited about it. Is that where Weird Al pretty much got his start?
On my show,
yeah.
Yes. He was 16 years old.
My
he
God.
Sent me a tape recorded on one of these little compact cassette recorders with a built-in mic. And he sent me a tape, and he had worked hard on his presentation. He had it perfectly balanced on this one little mic, and the song was funny, and he played accordion, which was very unusual in 1976. Accordions, you only heard those playing Lady of Spain or a polka or two, and Mexican music, and that was it. But Weird Al, he had, I'll tell you how he learned to play the accordion. He started out just learning polka stuff, because of the Yankovic connection. He's not related to Frankie Yankovic, the Polka King, but they have the same name. So that's how he started. But then he bought the album Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by Elton John, which was new at the time. And he taught himself by ear to play every song on that album. And that's how he learned to play.
On accordion?
On accordion,
oh,
yes.
My God.
Yes.
What does Elton John have to say about that?
Well, I don't know if he was ever asked. But,
I have to say this about you. You already know this, but people who don't know this about you will, I hope, be fascinated. When people send you notes, like they'll send you music, and I know several people who have been lucky enough to be on your show, you always send them very, very nice comments and inspirational things back. A lot of people in your position wouldn't do that. That's so nice of you to do.
I do it as best I can. Now, of course, it's an email, but I do it as best I can. I hate to break bad news.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this sucks.
Right.
You can't sing.
Please stop. Yeah. That kind of thing. Right.
But then that's so nice sometimes, of you. Sometimes things are so bad that they're good. Sometimes it's hard to communicate to somebody.
Yeah.
And John, so Weird Al is featured on this.
Yeah.
Fred Schneider from B-52s, The Misfits. Who else?
Pretty much everybody under the sun. I mean, on the subject of Weird Al, I had envisioned, because another special component of this record is, yes, we have classic punk bands like, for example, The Misfits do The Cockroach That Ate Cincinnati. Fred Schneider does Fluffy. My band Osaka Pop Star does Fish Heads. Shonen Knife does Weird Al's song Eat It. But then I wanted to have a reverse on the concept with some wild card tracks where we'll have a demented spin on a punk classic. And I thought a perfect finale for the record would be Weird Al doing something like that. So we have Weird Al doing Beat on the Brat by the Ramones with an accordion treatment, but a faithful version. And the funny part of it is that Al is famously known for doing parody versions, but we both mutually agreed that the lyrics for Beat on the Brat were demented enough just as they were written by the Ramones. So there was no need to redo the lyrics. So he does a faithful version and rocks it. And we've got William Shatner doing Garbage Man by the Cramps.
Beautiful.
And back on the subject of the artwork, the original Cramps cover artist, Stephen Blickenstaff, who did the cover to Bad Music for Bad People, which features the song Garbage Man, I had commissioned Steve to do a piece that replicates that Cramps cover art with Shatner's likeness.
That's awesome.
And Mr. Shatner gave me his permission for his name and likeness, and we have t-shirts of that available, too, on coveredinpunk.com.
That's a kick-ass t-shirt, I'll tell you that right now.
Wow.
Coveredinpunk.com.
Yeah.
Our previous guest, Bobby Slayton, was so awestruck to meet you. I'm guessing over the years that's happened quite a bit. Give us a name or two that you didn't expect to be a fan of your work, but when you met them, they were.
Somehow the first one that I think of is Freddie Cannon.
Really?
Who had hits in the 50s.
Freddie Boom Boom Cannon?
Yeah, right. So I met him, and he was just bowled over.
Yeah.
And he, you know, of course, it was long after Tallahassee Lassie that he started listening to my show. Jack Black.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, the musician Jack Black or the actor Jack Black?
The actor.
The actor Jack Black.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Can't you?
Yep. 100%.
Being a fan.
Yeah. I would think.
Oh, and of course, Jimmy Fallon. Because he's told other people about how much he loved my show when he was a kid.
That must mean the world to you when you get these big names who enjoy your work. Wow.
Right. All right. A documentary, a film documentary. Could this be possible?
It's on hold now, but yeah. We worked on it quite a bit. It's on hold. It's in legal hell or whatever.
Damn attorneys.
Because of the music rights? Is that why?
No.
No? It's just other things.
Oh, I sure hope we get to see it someday.
I think that's going to come to fruition. There's some things that need to be cleaned up, but I think that it's only a matter of time, and when it happens, it'll be even bigger and better than originally anticipated.
Yeah.
How did you two hook up?
Similar to kind of what you were talking about before, I've been a fan of the docs, and I'm in the music business, and I did this odd project where there's a German outsider artist named Klaus Beyer who has a lifelong dream of covering the entire Beatles catalog in German language, but he's not a very good singer, but that's his charm, and he's so passionate about it that you cannot help but love the guy.
Is he like the Tommy Wiseau of music?
Yes.
Is that his name?
He is kind of like that. In fact, we were on another show, and when I was telling the story, somebody said, that sounds like the musical version of The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
So I like Klaus Beyer, and I'd been doing these interviews when my first Osaka Pop Star record came out with people saying, what are you listening to? And I mentioned Klaus Beyer. It got back to him. He did his Beatles treatments on one of my original songs from Osaka Pop Star, has sent it to me. His manager asked if they could release it, and I said, not only will I give you permission to release it, I'll give you the music beds for a couple of other songs, and we'll put out an EP together of Klaus Beyer covering Osaka Pop Star. It's really bizarre, and I sent it to Dr. Demento. He played one of Klaus's covers back to back with one of my original songs called Where's a Cap'n, which is about Cap'n Crunch cereal.
Bill, you'd love that.
I do love that.
And then the doc emailed me and said, hey, I played your stuff on my show this weekend. You should check it out. And then we were in touch, and maybe 6 months later, I told him about this idea I had for Dr. Demento covered in punk. And 4 years later, here we are with a 2+ hour demented punk extravaganza with everybody from Adam West to Joan Jett.
And where are you going to be today? It's Rolling Stone Records.
It'll be tomorrow.
Saturday
from 1 to 3 p.m. We'll be doing a Q&A and an in-store signing for Dr. Demento Covered in Punk. Both Dr. Demento and I will be there signing records at Rolling Stones Records. And that's in Norwich?
It's in Norwich. I think I bought every one of my records there. I used to go to Triton College, which was right there, and they had the cutout bins in the back where there was just a hole in the record, but then they were way cheaper. Great record store, Rolling Stone Records. It's on Irving Park Road. It's in Norwich. You're there tomorrow from 1 to 3. Listeners, you cannot miss meeting Dr. Demento, and it's not so bad to meet John Caffiero as well.
Thank you. I hope that people will have a good time, and I'll tell you this, too. We have an added bonus. The Hamburglers, who are on Dr. Demento, Covered in Punk, who are local Chicago rabble rousers, they will be there for meet and greets and photo ops. So you can get your photo taken and meet the four Hamburglers at the signing on your way
in
or
out. That's a nice bonus. That's a nice bonus.
Wait, will Ogden Edsel be there? Didn't he do Dead Puppies?
He did.
I see the things that are just coming flashing back to me. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Ogden Edsel will not be there, but the Hamburglers will. Just keep your hamburgers away from them if you don't want to lose them.
The website is called coveredinpunk.com. The Twitter is at coveredinpunk. John, so nice to meet you. Dr. Demento would mean the world to Wendy and me if you would tell us to, you know.
Yeah,
you
don't
know.
Forget.
Stay demented.
That's like being knighted.
Oh, my God,
that?
Yes.
That is better than being knighted.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you to Norm Pattis. We really appreciate
Thanks, Norm.
Thank you, Norm. More after this. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.